What's up, everyone? I'm Ryan Matlock, and joining me today is Michael Lefavor as we come back for another Sunday special.
Yes! Ryan, guess what?
What?
It's not bad yet.
That is good. I am very pleased so far with this series, this third series of Red Rock.
Well, guess what?
What?
I think this might be one of my favorite episodes of an audio drama. Just
in general. Really?
I love this. This is near perfect. There's like one thing that I'm wondering about. It's like, I don't know what that was, but I think it's a plot thing. This is really, really good. Like, fantastic. Excellent. Whatever synonym I can put on it. I am so, so happy with this. It made me tear up. The story is great. The beats are great. We need to talk about the cliffhanger at the end because I know that's something we need to talk about, but I think it executes everything it does fantastically.
I agree. I think it's really good.
Yeah. You want to get the thing out of the way first? Cliffhanger at the end?
Sure. Why not?
It's
a
good cliffhanger.
They did the cliffhanger thing. It wasn't as atrocious as it usually is.
No, I don't think it's bad. I think this is one of the best ways you could use a cliffhanger. Because for the whole episode, we're trying to figure out, like, okay, who is it going to be? Is it actually Randy? What's the reveal going to be? And we get a ton of evidence in this episode, and it's really tense. And they're just sitting there waiting in the camper, having really good character moments as they talk about their faith and talk about things that they believe and really cementing what the point of this whole series is and trusting God and tying back into stuff in the previous episode. Then we hear the car coming around the bend, and then it cuts off there. It's like, if you're gonna do a cliffhanger, that's how you do it. Like, we're about to get a reveal. That's perfect. It's so good.
I think I was wondering as they were doing it, and as I heard the cliffhanger, the thought I had was that I think I would have preferred it to be a no cliffhanger, just sort of a wondering what's in store for the future. If they had just cut it off at like the end of the prayer and like have some swelling hopeful music or something, I think
I
might have liked that better.
Maybe.
Just because it would have tied, like, it would have actually wrapped things up instead of interrupting the prayer, which I thought was, I was like, no, don't interrupt the prayer. We finally got to the point where they're, like, doing what they should be doing.
Well,
don't
like,
distract them.
Yeah, but I think it might be providential. It'd be like, okay, you're praying now. Here you go. Here's a piece of the puzzle. But maybe that's just me.
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought it was fine. I think you can have it go either way. But yeah, this is I've said it enough times. I don't have to say it again. What do we want to talk about today?
Well, as the person who generally is all, oh, it's totally by the book or whatever. This is the first time, like last episode, I read through the book just to kind of remind myself of the story and kind of compare it. This time I haven't read up to this point yet. All I've read is what happened in the last episode. So this episode, all I know as far as whether to compare it to the book or not is from memory. There's plenty of stuff in there that's like, yep, that is exactly how it is in the book. Like, for example, well, most of the episode, but like one thing that stuck out to me was the neighbor going Second Amendment about having a gun.
Oh, good. So that was one thing I was kind of like, that's a little cringe, but oh, good. John Fornoff didn't add that. That was in the book. Great.
She only says it once in the book, whereas here she's like, Second Amendment, Second Amendment.
I think that makes it funnier.
A little bit. Like, in the book, it's not meant to be like she's smug about it. She's just kind of matter of fact, I think.
Well, I think it adds to her character to give her, like, she's coming out.
Does.
She's like, hey, how's it going, Ashley and Bryce? And they're like, hi. And she's like, what's wrong? Where's my mailbox? Oh, that's why Peanuts was barking so much last night. And we get a clue in that scene. I don't know if you picked up on it. Like, I mean, you already know what happens in the mystery, but there is a clue in that scene. You want to hear about it?
What is the clue that you, at least, I'll assume that it's there, but what do you think is the clue?
Why, if Randy's the perp, why would Randy and Lee be hanging around at midnight? Like, be hanging out at midnight?
What do you mean?
Because she says her mailbox was bashed at midnight. Randy canceled plans with Lee to hang out the previous night. That wasn't at midnight. There's no way. So why would it take him hours to bash a row of mailboxes? That doesn't
add
up to
me. I think the idea is that it's not just one row. It's a widespread thing they're doing throughout town.
And it takes an hour? Or it takes like not an hour, like 2 or 3 hours to do this?
I don't know. I guess if you're trying to be sneaky.
Well, I'm still on the Randy vigilante theory here. Like, I don't think he's...
Okay, sure.
I think everything in this could just point to he doesn't want word to get out that he's investigating this because maybe he knows the guys who are doing it and he doesn't want to be targeted by them. So...
Sure.
And it's like, even with collecting the fireworks, it's like, yeah, he's cagey about it. I still find it weird that he would just go ahead and say, like, yeah, I've got this stuff, if he was actually behind it. It doesn't seem like he really wants to hide the fact that he has fireworks from Bryce. Obviously not, since he just says it. So I don't know if it is him. I still want to hold to this theory. Maybe we'll get a reveal beginning of next episode. Who knows? But yeah, I think this is great at laying the groundwork for all these pieces are going to be relevant later. So we have that side of the storyline going on. We also have Mrs. Garcia and a much more in-depth look at her. I know that I had for
yeah.
that is that her first scene is... It seems like she's a slightly different character in how, like, the way that she's talking to Ashley. Like, she's not as harsh as she was before. And that's probably just to show that Ashley was able to make an impact on her the last time that they talked. And that now she's a little bit more open to be like, oh, hi, how's it going, Ashley? And they talk, and Ashley says, oh, do you want the truth or just a smile? And I think Mrs. Garcia says, yeah, you can tell me. And that conversation is fantastic because then Ashley says, hey, I'm sorry. I found out about your daughter. And she's like, what? How'd you find? She's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snoop, but I read an article. And yeah, I think that's probably the best way you could have said that, because you want to express sympathy. You want to find out more. You want to hopefully help this person through whatever thing they're going through. If they don't want to talk about it, be like, I understand. I care. Do you want to talk about it? And just leaving that open. And then Mrs. Garcia going, Can we talk after school? What a great character! What a great plot and backstory! And she tells the whole story, and the sound design in the back with her screaming is excellent, and the build up to it, the way she tells the story, and she mentions as soon as she gets to the part about her baby, she's like, they never found a body, or they never found her. It's like, aha! Yeah. So the ending of that scene is pretty obvious. Be like, I didn't know they were actually gonna go there. It's like your baby is missing, but then she says it like, oh, so there's a mystery within this too. That's cool. It's not just a thing that happened to this woman. And then I think we get a cameo from Rodney Tesla. Did you pick up on that?
Yes. Hannah was actually listening with me and she was like, hey, it's Rodney.
Yeah.
It scans your picture, then shows you what you look like in 10, 20, or even 50 years.
I sent him a message. He hasn't sent me anything back yet. I'm going to check and see if he's messaged me back. No, I sent him a message on Facebook to ask, hey, is that you in Red Rock? And he hasn't said anything. So maybe in a future episode, we'll be able to confirm that. But yeah, that was cool. And that ties in really well to the story. I have a question about how well the age-up technology that's mentioned here would be able to work on a six-month-old. I don't know if that'll work, because with Ashley, she's like... already going through puberty, so a lot of the changes to your facial structure are probably going to show up well on like an age up program. But I don't know how that would work for like a baby when there's not a lot of facial features that are distinct.
It
you know?
Can. It's always in any case it's always theoretical.
Yeah. So I wonder how useful it's going to be in the future. This is the thing, is like these first two episodes are extremely strong, but I have no idea how much of this framework is going to be continued in the next episode. Like, it could all fall apart next time, and I'll still be happy with my first two episodes here, but yeah, that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
Any other overall thoughts you had?
I guess overall thoughts, I just really enjoyed it. I thought that the different beats that they hit, all good. The story, they felt like it was all tonally where it should have been. Even when it came down to stuff like Bryce offering to play war, from my memory... The book just makes a mention, like, then we played war. And so, making it just a moment. Like, it feels like they're doing a really good job taking the points where the book says, and then we did this, and we did this, and this, all really quickly, and weaving it into the actual story. It feels like they're being a lot more true to the source material than even... like Haunted Waters was.
Yeah. Well, if you're saying that's how that final scene would have went in the book, I think it's genius how it's done here, because when I was listening, I was like, okay, Ashley shows up and they talk, and then there's a lull in the conversation, and then he brings up his stuff that he's got. Then there's another lull, and then he brings up war. And then there's another lull, and it adds to the tension so well, because I'm listening to the background and be like, is there going to be a truck? is it going to come? And the pacing, I think, is fantastic right there. That it's not just, we did this and we did this, and it's just they're constantly doing things until this. It's that you're actively noticing the sound effects of, like, the outside in the camper, which was really good. I think this is Todd Bastide or Gap Digital behind this. Very, very good stuff. And then as each beat happens in the conversation, it slowly progresses the character of both of them and adds to their character. And then when the final moment happens, it's like, oh, great, that's what we're waiting for. It's cut off, which I don't have a problem with. But I think that's very, very well paced. And the other jokes that are littered throughout the episode are also really funny. There are several moments that I laughed out loud. Like Rodney Tesla goes, who wants to try it? And Skeeter goes, Ashley Wood. Ashley goes, Skeeter.
Ashley
He's
Wood.
Like, no, really, I'd love to see you in 20 years. Wait, what?
They made him more cringy than he is in the books simply because I had to listen to a stupid face. And that's not a bad thing. It is about as cringy as it needs to be.
I know. But his line, I'd love to see you in 20 years. Like, Skeeter.
I mean, what you look like in 20 years?
That's Save also it. Creepy. It's not better. That's kind of not great, Skeeter. I mean, it's fine, but it's also... Back off, man. She likes Duncan, okay? But then, what else is in here? There's the conversation at the very beginning when Randy calls and he says, I have to cancel. Just tell her it was a kind of an emergency. And then Lee shows up and she was supposed to be at Megan's, but Megan canceled last minute. And then Bryce goes, yeah, he said it was some kind of emergency. And she says, oh, no, emergency? What emergency? And then they go on for a while about, you didn't get the information from him? And I love this where Bryce goes, well, if it was like his ear fell off or he was being attacked by a roving herd of wild hamsters or something like that. And she's like, well, why wouldn't you ask him what kind of emergency it was? And he's like, it's a guy thing. Keep it short. Get to the point. Don't ask a lot of questions. And then she's exasperated and marches off. And then Ashley shows up. She's like, hi, Bryce. What was that about? Oh, Randy just called. He's not able to make it. He's some kind of emergency. Oh, no. Emergency? What emergency? The exact same line.
Right back at him, yep.
I was thinking about the previous line where he said it's a guy thing. I'm like, Ashley's going to come up, isn't she? And that's great. A lot of the times with creativity, I'm finding this out with my music right now, there is something to be said for doing something predicted, because otherwise your brain is going to fill it in like, oh, why didn't you do that? That would have been so good. Like, I've got a song that I'm working on right now, and there's parts where I can feel like I feel like I can hear things in the background, and I'm like, well, why isn't that note there? And then I add it there, and it sounds so much better. And here, that joke of the setup of it's a guy thing to then the other girl in the room also has the same reaction to it. It's not diminishing of Ashley's character, because it does make sense, like that she would react like that. But extrapolating it to it's a guy thing makes it even funnier. So yeah, it's really good.
I agree. Any other thoughts, theories, or anything on the mystery, Michael?
Well, I'm trying to think. Now that you put it like that, the hints that we have are that there were mailboxes that were smashed last night, that Randy called to cancel at some point last night. There was an M80 firecracker that was used for, and the mailbox is just wrecked on the ground nearby. Randy went out with friends from the softball team, so... I don't think that's it either way. I can see people from a softball team like wanting to respect their equipment and not abuse it. So I think it's equally as likely that a softball team would have done it as if they wouldn't have. There's something from Marion about aliens, and that's no. Other anything else? There's a surveillance camera. There's not really much else. I don't think I have anything extra. Is there something you want to point me toward in this episode, or do you want to just not for now?
No, not really. I was just curious if there was any other theories. You often have many.
Yeah, I don't think there was much more added. At this point, it's just the two theories. It's either Randy is exactly who they say he is, and he's been smashing the mailboxes, or Randy's innocent. I want to be on the Randy innocent train, but as far as who else could have done this, unless it's like Derek... I don't really see anybody else who is in these episodes who would have, or unless it's Mrs. Garcia. I don't think there are any other suspects.
Is my child in this mailbox?
Wait, that's not how that works.
Man, my child's not in this mailbox. Smash!
And even if she were, Oh, I was thinking she was just smashing them beforehand. I was like, that wouldn't make any sense. No. Okay. No, I don't have any other theories. As far as the child being missing, Danielle, I could be suspicious that her, well, I think there's a pretty good theory that Tanya would have kidnapped her. I'm thinking, what's her name again?
Who's Tanya?
Tanya Zoloff, who was the babysitter. She was a teacher from the neighborhood. I think
she does have an evil sounding name. Zoloff.
Zoloff. There's a pretty good chance that she staged the whole thing. Like, she hid Danielle somewhere or gave her to, I mean, this would be terrible, like traffickers or something like that. Gave the child away and then staged the accident to make it look like that it was an accident. Because if both she and the child were missing, then and like they couldn't be found, that would be kind of suspicious. And the fact that she moves away just a week after that makes it seem like maybe she was just in the area to kidnap a child. It's like, that's probably it. Have I plugged Sound of Freedom on this podcast yet?
I don't think you have.
Well, I would do that right now. It's a good movie. It's really intense. It was in theaters back in the time when Michael in the past is going to be releasing this. So, you know, time travel stuff. Maybe it's on Blu-ray right now. I don't know. But talks about human trafficking. It's really, really rough. And, like, that's what I'm thinking about. If that's what's going on here, like, that's a thing. And that makes me really concerned. That's another reason why this story from Mrs. Garcia hits hard either way. If her child died, and if she has all these memories of, and the line that always gets me to tear up, like actually tear up, is when she goes in, she said she put a border of Noah's Ark around the room and she decorated the room and then she walks back and everything was black as coal. It's like, wow, that's hard. It's like, it's one thing to have your child killed in an accident like that. It's another to have their child taken. And like the reason I'm plugging the movie is the movie goes into details of like, not explicit details, but like, this is what happens to kids who are kidnapped. So if she was kidnapped, that's awful. I really don't want to, like, think about what might have happened to her. And just knowing, like, how that system works, there's a chance that Danielle could be in another country or long gone by this point or even killed after all this time. So I'm thinking about if Danielle could be somebody that we know that we've seen somewhere, and I don't think so. I don't think that's a thing. I haven't seen any clues that point to her. Or all of that. So, no. As far as that mystery goes, I don't have anything. As far as the mailbox thing goes, I don't think we have much more that I could go off of. Now, I am a little curious. Why does Bryce think it's a good idea to paint a target on his mailbox and then go around and make sure that Randy and Boo Heckler and all of them know that there's a target on the mailbox?
He's trying to bait them.
Well, he's trying to bait them, but if they go for it, won't they know that they're being baited and not do it?
That is one thing I think they handled better in the book. I think he's not supposed to be, like, he's very obvious, at least the way the actor is going about it. He's like, hey, Boo, I painted a target on my mailbox.
No. Whereas, the scene is so much better. It goes like this. He walks up, and he goes, sup? And I go, sup? What? And he's like, I was just cruising through, and I nope. And he just dies. And he gives up the whole cool guy act. And he's just like, I painted a target on my mailbox. And Boo's like, you put a target on your mailbox. Wow. And it's like, they know this is pathetic. Anyway, yeah, go for it.
Right. But no, in the book, I think it's, this is me relying on a very old memory. But from what I remember, it's just a passing thing where he says that, like, it's him doing exposition. There is no back and forth conversation with anyone. And the exposition basically goes, I went to school and I spread it to Randy's brother and such and so someone else, and even Boo Heckler just for good measure.
Oh, well, okay. Well, in the book, if it says that he spread it to Boo Heckler, then that's fine. Because my thing was just about him telling Boo directly, not even being overt about it. Just the fact that he told him directly. So if that's what he does in the book,
yeah, no,
then okay.
It's not like I went up to everyone and said, I have a target on my mailbox. It's more he just made sure that the rumor spread.
Well, that's not even, I don't even think that's fair to what happens here. I think in this episode, it's fine to be like, hey, guess what? I got a target on my mailbox. And if it was a lot more derpy, then okay, that'd be a problem. But I think his plan is I'm going to make myself look like a loser so that they won't take me seriously, which is what he does. And he's fine. He's good at the acting part of it. And like when he tells, is it Derek? Yeah. When he tells Derek about it, he's like, guess what I did? I painted a target on my bed box. Derek's like, oh yeah, that's cool. I'll have to tell my brother. It's like, Derek doesn't take it as a problem. So I guess that's good on yeah. Bryce's part that he anticipated that. I think that that all checks out. My thing is, I thought that Boo might be a suspect as well. And that was another theory I was going to float, but I don't think it has enough building up in this. That's why the two prevailing theories would have to be it's either Randy or it's not Randy, because we don't have a good counter to that. Like, if it's all of a sudden, it's Duncan! Well, Duncan was only in one scene in the last episode. He wasn't doing anything. Okay,
it was Duncan all along.
It's Mr. Chiplosa. He was only in three. He only had three lines, and he was played by Rodney Tislaw. That's well,
I
actually,
like the, it was sense. Mrs. Garcia option.
It's so weird.
It makes me laugh so
She's
hard.
She's like, that's Ashley, really you know, all these conversations have really, I really think there's, you know, it's really made me appreciate you more. Do you wanna start working together? It's like, working together? Yeah, I've got this thing that I do at like midnight, and I need somebody to help me with it. Okay, sure. She's like, here, take this AK-47, take it to the mailboxes. It's like, what?
I've been checking every mailbox, but I want to make sure I don't double check a mailbox, so I smash it after I'm done. One day I'll find the mailbox they put my child in. Mrs. Garcia, it's okay. Let's go back to sleep. Let's go back to sleep.
He's like, no. Here, take this skateboard and go down the road and peek in the mailboxes as you go by. And when you get to the end of the road, turn around and just blast them all. This is great. This is headcanon. Okay, so anything else? I don't know that I have any other theories. But
they use the headcanon to destroy the mailboxes.
Oh, hey, that was a pun. I'm going to give that like a 7 out of 10 because I am too tired to understand it. Speaking of not understanding, there's a lot. So when Bryce is actually painting the mailbox.
Please do not disturb the artist while he is artistrizing.
Artistrizing. I don't think that's a word.
Well, I just said it. So it's a word.
Well, these are words as well. You are obdurate, incorrigible, and inveterate.
Please don't use that kind of language around me.
What? It's English.
Maybe to you. I don't even know if you just insulted me or complimented me.
That's great. And then the scene right before, there's so many good lines in this. The scene right before that starts with Catherine going, nope, I'm not going to let you stay outside in the camper. It's a school night, or stay outside overnight. And then I think Sam suggests the camper, and Sam goes like, I agree with your mom. Wait until the weekend. What? It's great.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think I've had enough about saying this episode is great. You get the idea. This episode is great. Any other lines you wanted to bring up? Any other points?
Not at all.
All right.
Good episode.
Yeah. Highly recommend. Go pick it up. Go donate to Keys for Kids. Go do whatever to encourage them to make more like this. Because if this is what Red Rock can be, I really want to see more. And I know that there are only the 5 books so far, and I know they need support for more. I don't even know if that's an option. Oh, I know Darby Kern wrote the 6th book. And I know that we've been trying to get in touch with him to get him to get the script to us. And I need to send him a message again to see if we can do that, to actually read that final script, which would be great.
Yeah. If they're doing it like this, I would love to have them create more Red Rock, simply because some of my favorite books are later when they introduce an actually like a completely new character that we've never heard from up to this
Maybe
point.
Maybe they did it. Maybe they broke the mailbox.
What?
Maybe they busted the mailboxes.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. They might if they had the chance. But they introduce a new character and it makes an interesting plot line. But also in like the 9th or 10th book, I think, they do a speech and debate tournament.
Oh, yeah. I would love that. Oh, I don't know what memories that would bring back if I read that. I am also thinking, like, once I'm done with this, am I going to just go back and read books 6 through 15, or should I just wait with the hope that someday... Well, should I just wait with the hope that someday they'll be produced?
No. You should just read them. They're good.
Okay, well, I'll do that.
They're worth it, man.
Anyway.
At least teenage Ryan thinks that.
Okay, well, I will take teenage Ryan's word for it because he had some pretty good takes. I don't know if all of his takes.
Thanks.
I have to go back and see. Anyway, that's about it as far as the things that I have to say about this. If you all enjoyed this episode of us reviewing this, and I know this is coming out at a time when Gilead is pretty rough right now. So, hey, if you enjoyed our positivity, hey, it was warranted. This episode deserved it. Let us know what you thought. You can go to returntogilead.com/message to send us either an email. I was getting a bunch of spam emails, which was sad because I was going to have a feedback segment of just all spam emails. But I was like, you know what? That's not going to be good. So you can send us some feedback that way. You can send us a voice message to tell us what you thought about it.
Did maybe Lisa Roth, the Arabian Prince, Michael, the one that is your long lost relative. He's left you a large sum of money. You just have to go to the Western Union to collect it.
I had an email of somebody who had caught me in my bedroom with a video camera from the someplace. I don't know. It was weird, and I was like, I haven't even been to that city. What are you talking about? So that's the closest thing I had to an email like that. It was really strange, and I'd never heard of that kind of spam email. Anyway, this is off topic. Can we end this? I'm Michael.
So, yeah, I have a challenge for everybody. Go send us a voice message with your best impression of Mrs. Garcia attacking mailboxes.
You know, I want to hear that.
If we get three or more people doing that, we can have like a fun compilation, and you'll all compete to be the best version of evil Mrs. Garcia.
I have a lot of dumb ideas. I don't know that that's I'm not saying that's a dumb idea. That's just something I would think of if I didn't have a better idea to think of. I understand. Okay.
Thanks.
No. I want to spare the audience because I don't want it to be too cringe.
Well, it's not your cringe. It's someone else's cringe.
That's right. Okay, great idea,
Ryan.
If you add sound effects,
it'll be even less cringe.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Like, all you guys have to do is go like, I'm getting these mailboxes so I can find my child. And we'll add pong, pong, pong in the background.
You say wheel, but that'll be me that has to add that, you know?
Yes, of course.
Okay, fine. If I get a voice message like that, I will put full sound design behind it. There, I said it.
I'm Michael. Recording one right now. No.
I'm Michael LeFevre.
I'm Ryan Matlock.
Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time as we continue to look into hopefully still good Red Rock Mysteries.